Welcome to Bible Adventures. Help for today, hope for tomorrow.
Jesus is Lord of all. Jesus is Lord of all. No sin is too big, no problem too small. Jesus is Lord of all.
In Jesus' time, and often even today, a humble person was despised and considered a weakling. But Jesus taught that a humble person is really the strong person spiritually. God honors the humble person and resists the proud one. When Jesus said that no servant is greater than his master, Jesus was warning his disciples that just as he had suffered abuse and persecution, they too should expect the same kind of treatment from the world. But he also encouraged them by saying that those who share in Christ's sufferings on this earth will also share in his future glory. Jesus warned the disciples again that a close friend would betray him. If he hadn't told them of this in advance, their faith would have completely shattered when they'd seen Judas leading soldiers to arrest Jesus. Jesus was troubled by Judas' betrayal and soon revealed to the disciples at the meal table that it would be one of their group of 12. The disciples thought Jesus meant that one of them would accidentally betray him without realizing it, which made them question, who would it be?
We are to eat the Passover supper with Jesus again.
I like to hear him tell about the very first Passover supper and why the feast is still called the Passover.
Night was just beginning to fall.
Father, why did you kill the very best lamb for Mother to cook? Shouldn't you save the best for our sacrifice?
This is a special occasion, my child. For tonight, God will lead us out of the land of Egypt.
And why are you painting that blood on the doorpost, Father? I don't think that looks very pretty.
It looks beautiful, my son, for it means that when the angel comes to persuade the Egyptians to let us leave Egypt, persuade them by doing the only thing that will make them finally agree to our leaving, when that angel comes to slay the firstborn of every house, he will see the blood sprinkled there, and he will pass over this house. And you, my dear son, will not die.
Come, my dears, the supper is ready. Do you all have your traveling clothes on and your shoes? Is everything packed and loaded on the animals?
Mother, this bread, it's not the nice light kind. You usually make tea with me.
No, my child. God has specified that this meal must be prepared in haste. And eaten in haste, so that we may be ready to leave Egypt the moment that Moses gives us the word. There was no time to make the leavened bread, so God decreed that we eat unleavened bread.
Besides, my dear ones, unleavened bread, bread with no yeast, symbolizes life with no sin. And God wants us all to have asked forgiveness for all sins, and to start this journey out of Egypt only after seeking forgiveness most earnestly.
But do we have to leave Egypt? This is our home.
It is the only home we have known, son. We are slaves here. Always we must do exactly as we are told. We must always do a specified amount of work for the Pharaoh before we can do any of our own work. We must live where we are told, plant what we are told to plant, go where we are told to go.
I guess it would be nice if you didn't have to work for Pharaoh every day.
Moses told us that when we get out of Egypt, we are to remember this Passover supper, always. And every year we are to eat another supper just like this one, and give thanks to God for leading us out of Egypt.
And we mustn't forget either that this supper points forward to the time when the Messiah will deliver us from all sin.
My beloved disciples, we sit at the Passover supper, the unleavened cakes and the unfermented wine before us. As ye know, the Passover supper is eaten to commemorate the deliverance of Israel from Egyptian bondage. Thus has that great deliverance been ever kept in the minds of the people. I give unto you a new ordinance, which shall forever commemorate the deliverance of earth from sin and the power and dominion of Satan. I take this unleavened bread, O God, my Father, Bless this bread to these who in belief and obedience partake of it. Take, eat. This is my body. For this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for man for the remission of sins. The eating of unleavened bread and drinking of the wine, this do ye in remembrance of me.
We will, Master. Yes.
Although there are sections of Scripture that deal with the Lord's Supper in Matthew chapter 26, Mark chapter 14, and Luke chapter 22, the most detailed account is given in John's Gospel chapter 13. Who would be the disciple to betray Jesus? Jesus knew from the beginning which one it would be. The other disciples were distressed to think that someone from Jesus' inner circle, after years of training in his ways, would totally reject him. It would have been one thing to leave the group, but quite another to try to destroy Jesus and his work. The disciples asked who it would be. Jesus told them in advance that the betrayer was the person to whom he gave a piece of bread dipped in sauce. Then he dipped it and handed it to Judas. Judas received the piece of bread and left the meal immediately to rally up the soldiers for Jesus' arrest. Knowing that his death was near, Jesus said that he was glorified, and so was his heavenly Father. Jesus would be praised and honored because of his death and resurrection. The resurrection was the sign that God had indeed glorified his Son. Naturally, the disciples weren't too happy to hear Jesus was leaving them. Although it was Jesus' time to die, it wasn't the right time for the disciples to die with him. Their deaths would happen later. Jesus had told the unbelieving Jews that they would look for him but not find him, but he didn't say this to his disciples. Those who don't believe in Jesus in this life won't find Jesus in the next life, nor will they live with Jesus in heaven. Jesus gave his 11 remaining disciples a new command to love one another. We're to love our Christian brothers and sisters as Jesus loved us. This love must be a visible love, so that others can see by our love that we belong to Christ. People won't know we are Christ's disciples by our great works, but rather by our love for one another. How did Jesus love us? He gave his life for us, and this is the extent we should love our fellow believers. This is the meaning of true Christian fellowship, living a life of love for other Christians in particular, but also for our neighbours and our enemies, is a testimony of Jesus' love in our heart. However, if such a person hasn't accepted Christ as their Lord, he or she cannot have any part in such fellowship. Peter said he would lay down his life for Jesus' sake, but in reality, he wasn't ready to die at all. Jesus warned him that before the morning came, Peter will have denied Jesus three times. Then to encourage the disciples, and us too, Jesus told them that he was going away to prepare a place for them in heaven. They were to trust in him, even though he would soon be killed like a despised criminal. Jesus gave them a promise that he would return for them and take them to the place where he was in heaven. Jesus also promised them that the Holy Spirit would be sent to them by God. Many of the teachings Jesus gave the disciples didn't make sense to them while he was with them. But after Jesus' death and ascension back to his Father in heaven, the Holy Spirit reminded the disciples of Jesus' words and actions and taught them the meanings as well. The Holy Spirit does the same for us today. Even though we now have the New Testament of the Bible in written form, we still need the help of the Holy Spirit to fully understand it and apply it to our lives. The Holy Spirit is the chief guide and teacher of the church, but we must understand that the Holy Spirit never contradicts or opposes the teaching of the Bible in any way. Any teaching in churches that doesn't agree with the Bible isn't from the Holy Spirit. We're told to test the spirits in the first letter of John chapter 4, where it says, "Do not believe all who claim to have the Spirit, but test them to find out if the Spirit they have comes from God. For many false prophets have gone out everywhere." How can we test what we hear? John says further, "Anyone who acknowledges that Jesus Christ came as a human being has the Spirit who comes from God." Jesus left with his disciples his peace in their hearts. This peace isn't the world's type of peace, which depends on outward circumstances. This is a false peace, which doesn't last. As soon as any trial, sorrow, or trouble comes, the world's peace disappears. But Christ's peace is a spiritual peace with God. Even though outer trials come, Christ's peace remains in our hearts and minds because his peace is one of the fruits of the Holy Spirit. We don't need to be troubled or afraid about the future. While Jesus and his 11 disciples were eating the Passover meal, Jesus took a piece of bread, gave a prayer of thanks for it, broke it, and gave it to his disciples to eat. He said, "Take, eat, this is my body." In Luke chapter 22 it says, "This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." With these words, Jesus established the first part of the ordinance known as the Lord's Supper, or communion. The bread was a symbol to represent Jesus' body and presence. There was nothing mystical or magical about it. Jesus had already said much earlier in his ministry that he was the bread of life. Just as our physical life is sustained by bread, so our spiritual life is sustained by Jesus' life. His body, just like the bread, was broken for us. He gave his body and therefore his life for us. He came into the world to give his life as a perfect payment for the price of sins for all who trust in him and commit their lives entirely to him. These people are redeemed and made free of condemnation, punishment, and dread. Sadly, though, not everyone takes the free gift of Jesus' life to receive eternal life for themselves. To symbolically eat Jesus' body means to share in his death, which means to die with him. Just as Christ was raised from the dead, we should also walk in newness of life and no longer be slaves to sin. After Jesus took the cup, he gave thanks and shared it among the disciples, saying, "Drink from it, all of you, for this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the forgiveness of sins." In Luke chapter 22, Jesus also said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you." The old covenant God made to be Israel's God was for the Jewish people only, but the new covenant Jesus provided for by giving up his own life was for all people everywhere throughout the whole wide world since the time of Jesus. After Jesus ascended back to heaven and the church was established, some churches quickly lost the spirit of love between one another in their remembrance feasts for Jesus. The Apostle Paul wrote to the Corinthian church in particular to help them sort out problems that were dishonoring Jesus. Just as Jesus made the Passover meal part of the Lord's Supper, and the believers in the Corinthian church were doing the same, they had forgotten the real purpose and meaning of partaking in the Lord's Supper. Instead, they were meeting only to have a good time and to eat their fill. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, Paul rebukes the unkind behavior of some rich people who wouldn't share their food with poor people or even wait for them to arrive. This division was causing great disunity in the Corinthian church. Paul said to eat their ordinary meal at home first and then come together to share in the Lord's Supper as the solution. When we celebrate the Lord's Supper, we publicly declare the Lord's death and resurrection until he comes back to earth again. We are a witness to all people that Christ died for our salvation and that he rose again to give us new life that pleases God. We are to let the whole world know Jesus' great message of finding peace with God through him. The Corinthians were celebrating the Lord's Supper in an unworthy manner. Before we come to the Lord's table, we too must carefully examine or judge ourselves to see if there's any unconfessed sin in our lives. If there is, we must confess it at once, repenting of it and asking for forgiveness from God. Only then should we eat the bread and drink the wine or juice of the Lord's Supper. Those who don't examine themselves bring God's judgment against them, as the Corinthians found out. God disciplines believers so that they won't stray back to the world and its ways. The Lord's Supper should never become just a ritual or tradition. It's a special time of remembering Christ's great love and sacrifice for the world and his pure actions that continually pleased his Father. Knowing God's will is not enough. Only those who do God's will can expect to be blessed with the fruit of God's Spirit living in them. Some people take offense at being told that Jesus is the only way to God. If these people spent time looking at the Scriptures, they would realize that Jesus said such himself. We pray that offended people will take a Bible and read about God's great kindness to all people everywhere, including themselves. The drama is from the Bible in Living Sound. You've been listening to Bible Adventures, and I hope you'll join me again next time. Jesus.